Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Flats and Shanks series 7, maybe, episode 2. 40 minutes is all we do now, because none of us can be bothered to pay for upgraded Zoom.
That's it, isn't it?
Zoom
That's
business.
It. It's more like, I'm sure it's really cheap, but it's like, it's the admin of having to have a password, another account, and loads of emails from Zoom, which I don't want, and forgetting my password, and my kids taking my laptop, and me not knowing my password on another laptop.
Well, that's easy, mate. All you've got to do is change your password to what Martin Wood had as his password at his Hotmail address.
Oh, my God. Now, what we can't do, some pods will just reveal this password. Martin Wood, the old bar scrum half.
I was going to say the old bastard.
Oh, the old bastard. The old shagger. Well. He, the horrible bastard. He had a banking problem, I think, when we were on tour. And he couldn't get any money out, and he had to ring his mum and dad at home. His mum at home answered and said, right, there's an email on my Hotmail account, and that is the password I need to get money out of this bank on England tour, right? And he had to spell out his email password to his mum. She's logging in, right, Martin at Hotmail. .com. Right, and what's your password? And he says, right, mum.
Well, is it Orville?
I'll tell you the letters.
This is mum Orville.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. She does sound like that. He said, right, I'll tell you the letters, but don't add them up to make words.
Don't write them down, mum.
Don't write. So we can't say what it was.
Disgusting words.
It started with the C word and ended in the numbers 6 and 9. It was just awful. Like it's like Adam Jones, you know, the old Welsh second row, our old mate who played for a long time, played at Sarah's and Queen. That's right. Yeah. Steam, about time. He looks 55. Says, Adam Jones, Steam Boy, when he went on his first Wales tour, they asked for his email address, and it was always up for the steam at hotmail.com. I'm always on the piss. Like, oh, God.
I told you the time that. Had to take his suit and he'd shat himself for the dry cleaners. I said, I'll just take it, because we obviously lived together. My suit needed a clean, Sari's suit, like for post-game. And he went, oh, Shanks, do me a favour, just take mine down, will you, as well? I was like, yeah, no problem. I was a bit suspicious because he's given it to me in a black bag. And then when they get it in the dry cleaners, they take it out, don't they? Light on the surface, see if there's any stains on it. Everything.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my God, mate! It was the brown stains. It'd been in a black bag for about 4 days. So,
oh mate,
yeah,
animals.
Yeah.
Anyway, on I have like animals on it.
But anyway, congratulations to Adam Jones.
Yeah,
we got engaged. So.
Truth is, when someone's as old as us and they get engaged, you're like, oh, presumed you were married, or oh, is it your second marriage, which is cool, all the rage these days. But actually, you can just do what you want and get engaged whenever you want these days. So, well done, Jonesy.
But you don't have to do a big thing about it, do you? You don't have to have a flash mob in the middle of Cardiff?
No. And, you know, I've had a couple of weddings, Tommy, as we all know, and the second one was much smaller. And it was like my kids are like, oh, you're going to do it? You're going to put any of the picture on Instagram? No. Why would I do that? Well, you got to. No, I haven't. I don't have to do that.
All I'm going to do, babe, is to your kids, is I'm going to cook a big brisket and I'm going to hide the ring in there. I'm going to slow cook the bastard for 8 hours.
And whoever breaks their tooth on it, that's like the equivalent of catching the bouquet. You're next, You're 11. Even though you're 11, you're next to be married. Hey, look, how are you, Tomboy?
Good boy. Off to Hong Kong today. So that's why I have to do it a little bit earlier for me. Yeah.
Oh, yep. God. Right. Talk to me. What's going on in Hong Kong?
There is a Q&A I've got to do in Kowloon Rugby Club tomorrow night.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Clive Hammond is sorting that out. And David Trick is the MC, myself and Rocky Clark.
Tricky.
I'll tell you now what he'd be wearing, okay? Because he's very similar to you. He'll have a pair of jeans on, probably like Wranglers, not tapered. He'll have a really old school pair of deck shoes whatever they're called. Yeah, deck shoes, aren't they?
Boat shoes, deck shoes.
Yeah. And he'll have a Ralph Lauren shirt on. And he'd be funny as...
All hell.
Frick, I was going to say. Yeah. So, and then I'm playing golf on Thursday. Hopefully at Checo.
In Hong Kong.
Yep. And...
With Checo?
I think that's what the course is called. It's lovely.
Oh, right. Oh, I thought you meant Michael Checo.
With Martin Murray. My friend Martin Murray from Swire Group.
Okay.
And then got like a little dinner in the evening with Brian Rennie and a couple of the speakers. It's a little quiet affair on the Thursday night. Just trying to break us in, I think, slowly. And then we got the long lunch on Saturday, which I'm speaking at.
Oh,
just fella. Thinking about my intro now. The intro is the only thing you really got to work on. You've got to get them early.
Yeah. If you nail the intro, it's gravy from there on. If you don't, you're pushing a fat man uphill.
I'm thinking of maybe, like having a bit of music, like simply the best. Just coming in, walking in with a cap on backwards. If you don't want to be here, get out. The book I carry around with me. Forwarded by
Try it. It's like when you and I did that. I often tell people off air this story where we did that dinner together up in Norfolk, and you were like, we basically planned it, and it was like, right, I'll go first, Shanks, you go second, and we'll alternate on these bits like that.
Oh, don't say it. You've just jogged my memory. I might use that.
Yeah, one. I won't say the theme of the gag either, because people will guess it, but I don't want to say it on our pod. But you were like, just about to introduce us on, and you were like, Flatsy, I'll go first, boy. I said, no, let's just stick to the plan, and it's all ad-libbed anyway, but just stick to the structure. And you were like, no, I'm going to start the gag about that. And I was like, no, definitely don't do that, because there's 800, 600 people here and it's about 50% men. It's about 40% women and 10% children, and people had their kids there as well. And it was like, but they're all leaving soon after we start, the kids, but they're there for the start, big family rugby club. And I was like, you cannot make a joke about that. And you were like, yeah, I can. Be fine, mate. You walked on, and I got to say, I had a bit of sweat running down my back, and you absolutely, Jimmy, nailed it. And that was it. It made the night so easy from then on. Well done.
Back yourself.
.com.
So, read the room, which.
Well, no, you didn't know the room. You just took a punt and it worked.
Too much, not enough. Can you raise your hands? So that is it, Flatty. And then I am back. I leave then Saturday morning, 8:30. And I'll mostly
leave Hong Kong then.
Mostly be sleeping, I believe.
And are you working this weekend when you get back on the URC on Sunday?
Nope.
Oh, well done.
Yep.
Oh, fella, you've got a lovely couple of days. Mm. You'll have a good time with Rocky Clark. Tricky, former Bath rugby winger for years, quickest guy ever, and former president of the club and all that. Apart from all that, I might have told this before, but you and I have been to a lot of raucous do's. I'm sure I have told this. The loosest do I've ever emceed in my whole career, Tommy, and I've been doing that almost as long as I played rugby now, was the Wasps 150th centenary dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Sequicentennial. And it was at the Savoy, and it's the loosest event I have ever been to. And Tricky had to speak at about 10:30, 10:45. And I came off the stage and I was like, guys, we had a Q&A and we had Gatlin there and everyone was there. And Rob Henderson wouldn't get off the stage after the Q&A, refused to leave the stage. We just had to carry on. and he had a mic and he just kept shouting swear words every time I spoke. And in the end, I was like, can we cut his mic off, please? And in the end, I think he fell asleep in his chair. He was very good value, but it was loose. And I was like, Tricky, you can't go up there. Mate. You can't speak now. Like the night's gone. They're all thinking about going off to a club somewhere. It's done. I was like, you can't go up there. And he said, it'd be fine. He walked up there and I've said this before and I'll say it again. It's the best I've ever seen. Best after dinner speaking in terms of controlling the room, landing the gags I've ever seen.
The loosest I've been to was Brecon Rugby Club before.
Oh, really?
The Plenpanath. Actually, we just went out there on a social and went to the clubhouse after. They started to do bar luge. They put all the tables together, put loads of liquid all over the tables. And then they're just using like the big elastic bands around sort of your arms. You've got to get naked. Well, some got naked. I wore my pants. Just didn't want to slice anything down there.
Gotcha.
Even though I could probably do with it. And they just fling you along the tables. And I was watching it initially thinking, wow, this is amazing. And then they start chanting your name. And yeah, I'm looking around thinking, right, I've got to get out of here. Nowhere to go. Oh, so there's still a couple of videos flying around of that.
That's horrendous. Like,
now and again.
All the lads did that in All Bar One in Bath once. And Andy Beattie, the back row of the beast, who's an email address on that subject, used to be andthebeastgoeson@hotmail.com. Good one. But he did it and everyone was going along it. And I think Bolsh did it and tins were flying in. And I was just like, mate, if I'm not coordinated enough to do that, I'll go through a table. Beast got, I mean, just jumped and just slammed really high, slammed down onto it, didn't skate forward and just split his chin from memory.
Mate, well,
come on, mate.
I'm not as big as you yet, but I went down a slide in Alton Towers a couple of weeks ago and I stopped halfway.
Well, because your ass got jammed in it.
I don't know. I don't know. It's like a normal slide, like, you know, one of the big slides where you go round and round. Like,
maybe you're not heavy enough. Like, I don't stop, mate. Once I start,
I think I had the wrong swimwear on.
Yeah. What did you have on?
Thong.
Yeah.
I think I needed shorts.
You had the old Rod Stewart, did you? I'm currently sitting, Tommy, in our sort of upstairs sitting room that we call the drawing room to annoy the children because they think it sounds really snobby, but we only call it that when they're here. But in the drawing room, and it's not a building site in here because next door is a building site, and the ceiling fell in, as I might have explained on a former pod, in my office /snug, my favorite room in the house. I said, this is my favorite room in the house. And within 5 days, the ceiling had fallen in. The whole ceiling's had to come down. Telly's off the wall, speakers out, lights off the ceiling. The whole room has got to be repainted. We are now looking at replacing all of the furniture that was in there, which you think, hey, nice, new furniture. Cannot find the same furniture again. It doesn't exist anymore. We really like it. And it's basically brand new. We've hardly ever been used. And the insurance company said, not happy with this, we're sending somebody round. And he came round, and because they were like, the quote's too high from your builders, had to get a couple of quotes, which took ages. And well, it didn't, it took ages from one of them, not from the other. And the bloke came round and he was like, I don't think your quote's enough. I don't think it hasn't accounted for any new furniture. I was like, yeah, but hopefully could clean it. He's like, mate, that's a pink sofa, fella. It's dead. Someone's so we've now got all the admin and dust, and I'm asthmatic. The dust, mate. We're back. We thought it was all done, and we're back in the mix now. It's bad times, fella.
This is where it helps fronting ITV, Rugby World Cup.
Why?
The moneymaker.
Oh, the face.
The face.
No.
Hey, mate, have you ever thought about renting your house out for like Cluedo parties? It'd be awesome.
No. The Airbnb being your whole house, I get. Like the lads that do, mates I've got that do it, that rent out, they go away in the summer and rent out their house, whole house. The admin that goes around getting basically all personal items put away, stored away, then back out again. I'm sure you could develop a system and you could be reasonably efficient. Like Paoli, our mate, he reckons he's got it down to 3 or 4 hours with all the kids, all five of them like digging in. They've got their own roles, crack on. Mate, I can't organize a system to de-privatize, whatever the word, depersonalize my house.
Yeah.
When I've got four kids, two of whom are babies, a dog. I just,
no.
It's not worth it, mate.
No, it's not. Do you know, we got, I had a couple of complaints about last week's pod.
Oh, yeah.
Too much rugby, apparently. So,
well, funny you say that. I was at a thing on Friday night and this lovely bloke walked up to me, probably 55 years old. And he said, I love the podcast, but you two have got to stop the rugby chat. He said, we've heard it all by the time we get to your pod. We don't need it. We all read the papers. And he said, all we want to hear about is Netflix and barbecues. I said, fella, you're speaking my language.
Right. Now, listen to this. You might have watched it already. It's obviously being promoted quite well at the moment. Robbie Williams documentary on Netflix.
No.
It's really good. Really enjoyed it. Obviously, you know who Robbie Williams is and his career. But, mate, just like an insight, because it's got loads of footage from when he first joined Take That and to when he left to when he went solo and basically all the ups and downs he's had along the way. And you often don't hear about these things. You just hear when he's bringing a song out, maybe if he's had to check into the Priory. But what he struggles with along the way is, I don't want to spoil it for you, but I really
I'm not going to watch
it,
so you can tell me.
Really?
Not my cup of tea, but I'm interested.
You don't like him?
No, I like him. I don't watch that sort of thing.
Just had like massive anxiety, massive panic attacks, had this whole fear about the UK not warming to him, not liking him. Seemed to be okay when he was performing in America, but anytime he came back to UK, just got overly, overly nervous and having panic attacks, even though like he just nailed Nebworth for 3 or 4 days. And a lot about his songwriting as well and how much songwriting he did, and it's good, and relationships he had along the way. And obviously now, you know, he's found peace with himself and he's got a lovely, beautiful family. But what he took to get him there, you know, it was a classic case of he was 16 when he joined Take That and not really having a proper sort of teenage years, basically. Very young.
Yeah.
And then later on caught up with him down the line. But I loved it. I watched it like within two days, I think it was 4 episodes. But it was good.
Yeah, I read a review of it online the other day, and it said it was the best documentary of its kind this year.
But you won't watch it.
And I think it's just not. I might watch it. It's just not that's not my cup of tea on telly, really.
There's a couple of cars in there.
Yeah, what cars you got? But it's like the Beckham documentary. Like, I love Robbie Williams. I've been to Take That concerts, mate, in Cardiff. A great time, but. If I could get tickets again, I would. But it's, you know, I love his music and I want him to be all right. But at the same time, and the human stuff I do find interesting. Like, if I put it on, I'd probably enjoy it. But
it was like when he left Take That, he was obviously really young and he bought his first album out. And it was okay, the album, but it was the one song. I think he co-wrote it with Guy Chambers, who was sort of his music producer for a long, long time. They worked together very closely. And it's all to do with that relationship as well. But Angels was the song that just connected with everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge. It still is huge now. But I also forget how many sort of good songs he's brought out.
Mandalay, was it? The Road to Mandalay? You made that up? Might have made that up.
Road to Perdition. That's a great film with Tom Hanks.
Great film.
One of my favourites.
But no, he's absolutely mega. And that's not the point. It's just his brain does what it does to him. And that is very sad. But hopefully.
Do you know what I'm excited about on the plane? Well, I've already pre-ordered food. So I pre-ordered a burger. You know what
standard.
I'm like.
Standard.
I'm going to arrive at the hotel and have a club sandwich.
Standard. Again,
standard.
See what channels you got.
Do you know that's when we played out in France, we'd stay in the same hotel all the time on the Champs-Élysées. And it was great because in the team room, you'd have a big TV. And they've obviously got these. They've got rude channels out there, naughty channels, and it would just It would just be on a porno the whole time. No one's allowed to change.
Just running constantly.
Yeah, I remember I was room with Gareth Cooper.
Oh, God.
And used to get like 2 or 3 minutes free until it came up with a screen that you had to pay. But we worked out that if you turned it off of the mains, back on again, get another 2 minutes free.
Oh God. It's good stuff, though, isn't it? It's just, it's
you know,
right of passage, mate.
You're trying to not think about the game aren't you? So yeah, you know, you're
yeah, it's nothing like watching pornography with your friends. Can't imagine anything weirder.
Actually, they mentioned it.
Yeah. I read a really good article a few years ago about why men shouldn't watch it, and stuck with me, fella. Shouldn't watch it. You obviously got a big problem with it. But
why have you constantly got like a power bank and a lead on you then?
Why are you constantly unplugging your telly at the mains, mate? The other thing I won't watch or refuse to watch. Everyone says it's amazing, but well, no, it's not true. But the Beckham documentary, so I love Beckham. I love him. He's a mate, national treasure. I love all that stuff. I'm just not enthused by those programs. I read a review of it. I think I mentioned it on a pod recently that it's the most aggressive review, negative review I think I've ever read about any television program ever.
I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on this. I'm not that
Camilla Long, I think it was, that wrote the review. And I always just like go to TV program review on Google, and The Guardian is a pretty reliable source of reviews. And it was like, whoa, I think it might have been in the Times actually, that one, but she absolutely slammed it. And it's like, this is just content. It's viewed as an insight. What it really is really tightly curated just to augment their brand and make loads of money, which is absolutely fine, but it's presented as something else. And it's kind of like, I don't resent that. I'm just not interested. I'm just not interested in that at all. Like, that doesn't appeal to me at all. That
to me about the plane is, I'm looking forward. I'm really hoping they've got Oppenheimer on TVs there, on the movies, on the plane, because I've not seen it yet.
No, I haven't.
Desperate to watch it.
Yeah. It might be a cut down version now on a plane in case kiddies watch it. That's the only problem.
That'd
be right.
I can deal without not seeing a nipple. Flats, it's fine.
Well, you keep bringing them up. We're watching Time at the moment, which is about being in prison. Second series. The first series was amazing. And the second series is really, really good. Like, if you hadn't seen the first series as a standalone, the second would be really good. We're only two in, but I think there's only three actually.
I'll try.
But it's really good. It's clever. It's good. But the first one had Stephen Graham and Sean Bean in it. And it's like, well, it's like having Al Pacino and Rob De Niro in it in a BBC drama. Do you know what I mean? It's like quite hard to follow, but it's good.
Sylvester Stallone documentary as well. That's on Netflix. Oh. The one about Arnie's really good. He's brought one out as well. So it's at the moment, he's just talking about his younger life, really, about how he was born, how sort of half his face paralyzed, how he's trying to become an actor, but no one really would take him too seriously because they thought just he was going to be a villain the whole time because of his voice and the way he looked with his eyes, and then how he got into writing because he couldn't get any parts, and then how he sort of rewrote Rocky, and then made it what it is now. So, and sort of casting the actors in it as well. It's really interesting because obviously, like anyone like him, he's got a massive story because he wrote, he directed, and he starred in it as well. Imagine doing all those three when you're like sort of 22, 23 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, amazing. He did get caught with human growth hormone at the old services, didn't it? The old customers once.
Reese Webb.
Sorry, did you say Reese? Sorry, Sylvester Stallone. Oh, what's happening? Right. What's happening with Reese Webb?
Oh, I'm not sure. I made that up.
Haven't. It's in the papers.
What? That it's what? Growth hormone?
He failed a drug test, didn't he, for growth hormone? Yeah, I thought it said in the papers.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I saw him the other day, actually, at Phil Bennett Foundation dinner. He seemed okay. He'll come out in the wash. Hope he's all right, though.
Yeah, I do. I really like Reese.
He was looking immaculate, I have to say that. Like, I was looking.
Yeah, of course he was. Oh, so he's demanded, like, it says here, the first thing I've got is that he demands a B sample. Test positive for growth hormone. Well, I hope that works out. I hope it is not the case.
Sometimes it's good for healing your body, though, if you've got like a real severe injury.
Oh, mate, like, I honestly think, like, I wouldn't really know where to start, but it's like people pay subscriptions for telly or vitamins or protein powders, that sort of stuff. I reckon that, you know, there are certain things that would be massively frowned upon in the rugby fraternity, that if you could just pay what you pay for Netflix every month and just have a bit of liquid youth bit of HGH jabbed in, just a little bit jabbed in. The only thing, I know nothing about it, but then I think if you have, isn't it right, if you have a tumor or cancer, it grows at a significantly faster rate if your growth hormone is spiked, or I don't know. That's why I just don't bother doing that stuff. Or I wouldn't know where to start. But Sylvester Stallone did say that, you know, HGH is nothing, I think was his favorite quote. And it's like, mate, it's not even, it's just.
Well, yeah, you might like it. You might like that one. I'm sort of an episode in and it's really interesting. So that'd be good.
I'm more up for that. I'm more up for that than a puff piece that aren't, but they're all kind of, all these documentaries are, they're a little bit like, aren't I a legend? And I find that a little bit uninteresting, but the Ricky Hatton one I loved, which we've spoken about, loved it. Thought that's great. I watched Louis Theroux interview Anthony Joshua.
Any good?
This week. Have you seen that? Well,
no.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I love both of them. But I think he seems to be like, Anthony Joshua seems to be massively or preoccupied by his feeling that the British press and maybe therefore the public by proxy or whatever, don't give him the credit his achievements deserve. He seems to have
which are what? Obviously Klitschko.
Double world champion, double heavyweight world champion. And if, you know, it's one of those things that, I don't know, if you ask about heavyweights, Tyson Fury obviously is a massive name, but Joshua had a massive impact on what was a really stagnant, uninteresting heavyweight division. Like,
yeah, but until he fights Tyson Fury, then I can't really buy into it, because everyone's wanted this fight for years and years, and I just don't want to see it at the end of their careers when they're just looking for a payout. I want to see him fight in their prime, which is now. And they've got to sort that out. It is pathetic. That is
yes,
the fight.
Yeah. So I'm watching the documentary thinking a couple of things. Like, it was a bit edgy, a couple of points. It looked almost a bit confrontational, a bit awkward, but in a good way. I'm also thinking Louis Theroux is like the greatest of the great, but there was bits, the way it was edited, I think, just felt like he was interrupting Anthony Joshua all the time. And a couple of times I was like, oh, just let him speak. Like, he was going to carry on then. But Louis Theroux is just the master. He did Tyson Fury impressions that were amazing. Like, he was really, really good. And he asked the right stuff. Like, he's brave. I just think he's amazing. But I didn't adore this documentary like I normally do. But halfway through it, I'm thinking what you're thinking. If this is your primary concern, like, you want to earn money and that stuff, and it's like, there was a few contradictions. Like, he said, you know, you said it's all about the money, Anthony, or in similar words. And he said, no, I mentioned doing it for the money once. I've mentioned it once and everyone's just blown it up. And he's like, no, because you mentioned it here too. Oh yeah, well, I mentioned it there too. Like, it's not a crime to want money.
It's his job.
It's like, yeah, but it's like, if it's not all about the money, and it's all about legacy, fight him then and take less money. Yep. Don't demand 50 million or 30 million. So I'll do it for a shitty little 10 million. You know, do that. Just fight him then. If it really isn't about, it's easy for me to say because it's not my job. But actually, if my primary thing was that people didn't respect me. And the only way they'd respect me was hosting a game on ITV where I'm going to get paid £4 instead of my normal fee. I would do the game. I would do the tournament for £4 if it meant I could find peace, I think.
15 to 30 years ago, though, these boys would fight. They would fight.
Yeah.
You know, big fights. Now it's all to do
with knackered, isn't it?
Money. It's all to do with rights. It is knackered. It's completely knackered. Like, you look at, I don't know, like the late 90s, early noughties. You had huge fights all the time. All the time. Like, at least once, twice a year. Big
Riddick
fights.
Riddick Bowe, Holyfield, Tyson.
Yeah.
Massive.
Calzaghe, Eubank.
Yeah,
you know, there was loads.
Steve Collins, Nigel Benn.
Yes, always. But now it's like, happens once every 10 years. Be a good time to fight him now as well, because Tyson Fury didn't look that great in his last one. So,
well, I read one of the reviews of it that said he basically looked like he hadn't trained, or hadn't trained hard enough for it, and he did. I mean, it's not, we're not body shaming one of the greatest heavyweights potentially of all time.
No, he's never been ripped.
I mean, he just looked like he was really heavy. Like, but Francis, anyone looks like that next to Francis Ngannou. I think Anthony Joshua would look like a streak of piss next to Francis Ngannou. He's an absolute freak show. But yeah, it's, I'm I know these fights generate loads of money. And if I was a heavyweight boxer and I got offered, I'm making numbers up, 30 million to fight some YouTuber, shit me, mate, I'd do it naked. Like you do, don't you?
10-minute warning.
Oh, God.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's a film on Netflix called The Killer, which has just come out.
Fassbender.
What'd you call me? And it's got 5 stars in The Guardian, in the Pep Guardiola, which never happens, mate. Very rarely happens.
Downloaded. Ready.
What up, mate? What up, mate?
Last point on series now. Have you got anything for me to watch that's gripping? I don't mean anything like serial killer.
Struggling at the moment.
No, same. Okay, that's fine.
But it's autumn. I feel like all the good stuff should be coming out now because it's autumn, but nothing's quite gripped me recently. And I'm a bit empty on the TV front.
I know we got told off for doing too much rugby last week.
Oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, I know. We'll just pick out a couple of the instances because, you know, if you want to catch up on rugby, listen to other pods or watch the ITV highlights with you and Topsy or listen to the Unloaded URC show. But the red card at the game you covered at the weekend.
Yep. For the leg out.
It's a red card for me. I don't know what you said, whether you agree or not. I think that's red every day of week.
You might notice I'm standing up, Tommy, Tommy can see me and the viewer, the listeners can't. I'm standing up because my back's
looks like you're going to expose yourself.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just, it's like I'm singing in a booth now, like I'm doing, what's it called? Band-Aid song. Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Live Aid.
It's Christmas time.
Yeah, it looks like I'm doing that, but the old back's going. What I said was, I know the law is the law, letter of the law and all that, but that is just balance, unintentional, bit of empathy, let it go. That's what I thought. And I was with Nolly and she was a fullback. She said the same. And I looked along at Stuart Hogg, who was obviously knew his onions at fullback. And we're both commentating on different channels for the same game. And I was like, what do you reckon? And he said, never a red. And then I haven't watched it on TNT, but I think Benny Kay thought the same. And then Ollie Woodburn, who's current player, you know, but he's the teammate of the accused. You know, that's slightly different, but I think, I don't know. I think it's one of those letter of the law jobs.
Yeah. I spoke to two World Cup referees. I spoke to a couple of World Player of the Years that have got it, and they think it was a red card. It is.
Well, I spoke to Bono.
If you miss time, you jump when you go for the ball and you collide with someone, it can be a red card. That way, same instance applies. I think when you're taking a ball like that, he looks at the player, the foot comes up, he's trying to buy himself a little bit of time, doesn't want to get smashed. I think he knows exactly what he's doing, and red card.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
And you know what I'm like, Flats? You know what I'm like?
You think the game's gone soft?
I I think we have too many red cards. But for me,
you hate player safety. You hate player safety.
That is a red card.
I'm really surprised you think that's a red.
From what we've gone by on, it happened in the World Cup. Happened to Paulo Adogwu before.
He got a 6-week ban.
Yeah, it looks too obvious to me, David. So there we are. And people, and that's what players do to stop them getting smashed. Stop them getting hit hard when they land on the floor. It looked very unnatural. So there we are.
You ready to go?
We agree to disagree, but yeah, I have spoken to people way above who you listed, and I'm on this massive WhatsApp group with basically the last 10 years players. IRB players.
I spoke to Bob Dwyer and Nick Mallett, Rassie Erasmus. I rang Eddie Jones.
Did you?
I spoke to Daniel Craig about it.
How did he answer? Konnichiwa.
And Idris Elba.
Yeah.
I spoke to loads of celebrities about it. Couple of quick highlights. George Ford was mega for Sale against Bristol. Second half, Sale really got it together and George Ford looked immaculate. Hondre Pollard made a massive difference for Leicester Tigers. Even though they didn't win, he looked great. Marcus Smith looked fantastic as well. Finn Smith for Northampton in there, that win over Chiefs. You got a lot of fly halves doing really good things in the Prem.
Dave, can I ask you? Question. I've not seen too much of him. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, because obviously you just highlighted Marcus Smith. But Jared Evans.
Yeah.
What's the word on the street? How's he been going? I've heard it's been okay.
He's played really well. The word on the street is really good. They really like him. He's everything I've heard. He really suits the way Quinns want to play.
Yep.
Realistically, he's going to be, like most players would be, an understudy for Marcus Smith. Quinns might use Smith at 15 here or there off, you know, when people are injured, but they don't need him as a 15. They've got plenty. They've even got Tyrone Green on the wing, who is brilliant at fullback after Mike Brown left. So they've got options on options at 15. So Jared Evans will, but because Marcus Smith goes away a lot and all that stuff and people get knocks, he will play quite a lot of games for Quinns and they really, really like him. So they're quite chuffed with that signing because there's no point in having really exciting outside backs if you don't have a 10 who is a running threat himself and B, really good at setting them alight and creating space.
Yep, and that's why I think we'll see probably a different way of attack for Wales coming up in the Six Nations because we'll have a different 10.
Yeah.
Dan Bigger won't be there. He's retired and he's good at game management. He's good at positional play, you know, making sure we're Wales playing the right areas. Not high risk rugby, quite low risk really. But I think whether Sam Costello's back fit, Johan Lloyd's been playing well. And I said this a couple of times on different platforms, like this is a massive period for him now because he's playing well. But he's got from now until January, really, to form up a partnership with Gareth Davis. Sam Costello's injured at the moment to maybe warrant a starting spot. So it's in his hands at the moment. He's looking good, even though the Scarlets aren't playing particularly well. All four Welsh teams lost at home at the weekend, which is the first time ever in the history of the competition.
I feel like with Johan Lloyd, tell me if you think this is... You look at him as like a James Hook and you think if he's going to go on and amass as many caps for Wales as James Hook did, he's got to start getting in that starting 15 soon. He's got to be that sort of player where they say, well, we got to get him in somewhere. So he goes here. If that's 10, then great. Because he seems that talented to me whenever I watched him.
But if you're playing 10 internationally, you can't just be a makeshift 10 at your club. You can't just be filtering it out. You have to be
starter. The guy.
You can get away with it at 13, wing 15, but 10 is so important that you have to be playing it every week. What he does have in his favor is he is unbelievably versatile, so he can play in multiple positions, so therefore
and quick
therefore you probably want him in your squad because he can cover whether he starts or whether he's on the bench. He can cover loads and loads of positions, which is key, which is golden, exactly what you want. So that's good. There was a nothing really massive that went on in the URC. There was a red card to Tane Basham. Just Ross Byrne is running back to pick up the ball. Basham just leaves his elbow out, tries to connect with Ross Byrne's head, gets him a little bit at the top. Luckily, he didn't get him like right on the jaw.
Yeah.
But he got red carded straight away. And I'd imagine he'll get quite a hefty ban. So
I haven't seen it, but I think the game's gone soft and it shouldn't have been a red.
Yeah, maybe. absolutely not. He'll get a big ban, I reckon, for it. It's too obvious. It was like rugby when we played. You could get away with it.
Yeah, when men were men. Yeah. And so much of it is about self-control just in the moment, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it is. And they were getting hammered by Leinster, and it was a tough game. We've got a minute left, lads.
Let's go.
Can I just inform you, we've got Cheltenham Ladies' Day coming up in March, right?
Yeah.
The squad is being assembled. Steve Spears is in.
Yeah.
Lee Byrne is coming with Roger Harry, my mate. Geth Jones is coming with him as well. I'm on that table, so they.
Jason Fox is coming, isn't he?
Three world-class looking blokes with me.
God.
Including me. Jason Fox is coming as well, so it's going to be good.
And we all know that Dean Schofield, former South Sharks and England second row, will be there as well, which just makes every day better. He's always there, mate.
Absolutely always. Never seen him. Well done, mate.
Good pod, not too much rugby. Well done.
You look after that back now. Do you want to come to Hong Kong with me? Get it stretched?
None of that. Good luck, boy. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.